This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacy Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, we've determined that no one can get enough of the Adelson family. So it's all Adelson all the time now here, but it kind of feels like that. But there's just been so much to talk about in this last week. And believe me, I too am looking forward to other things going on in the ether of true crime. But it just keeps popping up. So we're going to talk about what we saw this week. Robin Dreeke is with us, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. If you watched our live coverage the other day during the sentencing, you're in luck. This is where we are going to talk about what we saw now that we've had those moments to kind of sit back, let it sink in a little bit, let it simmer, and let the trauma subside of that crazy sentencing. But before we get to discussing what we saw the other day, the Markell family, Danny's parents, have released a statement, and it's new as far as I know it is. I just saw it right before we jumped on the air here. Wow. And this is in response to the sentencing. It's specifically in response to Donna's performance, let's call it what it is, and Harvey's performance as well, because they were calling them out. They were literally victim. They were shaming them. They were disparaging them. They were calling them liars in court about their interactions with their grandchildren, and they're gonna clear it up in this letter. Yeah. So let me go through this, and then we'll talk about that on the other side. This is the letter. This is the words of the Markell family. During sentencing, our family listened in disbelief to the disrespectful and delusional statements made by both Donna and Harvey Adelson before Donna's sentencing for the first-degree murder and other convictions of our son and brother, Dan Markell. Contrary to Donna's claims, she never mourned the loss of Danny's life, nor did she ever express concern for his sons losing their father. Testimony at her trial showed her callous indifference to the murder, including when evidence, including written evidence, that she dismissed the very idea that the boys could be sad or miss their dad. Remember that? Do you remember that in some of those letters that were being read back? Or I don't know if it was letters or transcripts, but it was very direct of just the utter disconnect of not remotely considering the feelings of these two children as if they were just objects.
Yep.
As if they were just,
well, they were pawns.
Yeah. Little pawns in the game with names. It is deeply unfortunate that Harvey used his time before the court to challenge our family's account of our relationship with Ben and Lincoln. Robin, I want to ask you there. It is deeply unfortunate. Interesting choice of words before we get into what they're about to say. What's your take on that sort of phrasing?
They're being as kind as they can.
Somebody looked it over before they submitted it, right?
And what a nice point, Stacey. You know, it's amazing when you actually have loving critics that actually weigh in before you give yourself in a horrible emergency takeoff like the Adelsons.
Right.
You know, so, and that's what we do. You know, when we're emotionally tied to the outcome that we're seeking, we're horrible regulators of ourselves. That's why we have people in our lives that should be weighing in on certain things. And granted, you're going to make the ultimate decision yourself. But, you know, having someone objective to help you with your wordage helps immensely, especially if it's going to be put out for public consumption.
True. It is deeply unfortunate that Harvey used his time before the court to challenge our family's account of our relationship with Ben and Lincoln. We will set the record straight. As we have in court and elsewhere, our family was cut off from contact with the boys for 6 full years from the moment authorities implicated Adelson family members in Danny's murder until 1 hour after the Florida legislature passed the Markell Act. Since then, our interactions have been limited. So just think about that for a second. The Adelsons get implicated in the murder of their son. And then they're not allowed to see their own grandkid. The kids are basically being held hostage by the Adelsons at that point. The very family accused of killing their father.
You know, it's interesting about it too, Tony. You know, going back to the language that they used regarding, you know, deeply disappointed or whatever it was. So
yeah,
they're using language that is very pragmatic and cognitive and thoughtful, not emotional. And so they're setting the stage for them to then lay out, setting the records, because they're not giving a little hijacked response to these things. So again, the Adelsons undone themselves. No one's listening to what they're saying. They're just raving lunatics. And then here you have the Markells kind of laying it out. We could have this highly emotionally hijacked response to this, but we're not. We're maintaining calm, cool, collected. Here's the facts. And so people consume it a lot better than otherwise if they just... Yeah. Now, granted, people would have totally accepted an emotional response, but they're doubling down on, hey, we're the really thoughtful ones in this one, and these people are lunatics.
God. Since then, our interactions have been limited. And this is their account. This is them saying what is going on today, basically, with their interactions with their grandchildren as facilitated through Wendy and the law. They literally had to get legislation passed to see their grandchildren named after them. That's commitment. And I hope those grandkids, they someday look back when they're adults and understand all of that, to like actually go, well, yeah, they're actually, my grandparents had to get legislation passed because my family, my murderous family, did. That's going to be so much to unpack for them someday. So much.
Can't
to
imagine. Unpack.
Continuing on, since then, our interactions have been limited mainly through Wendy's supervised Zoom calls and short visits. Wendy refuses to share their address. And what? Gifts we send must be mailed to her lawyer's office. Okay, this is from the Markells. So this is their letter. Wow. You know, if that's not true, then, you know, Wendy can say something. But this is according to them. This is not like a court statement or us independently verifying. This is their letter saying this. So if that is true, the grandparents can't know where their grandkids live. To send a gift, they can't show up, and that might be a little awkward. I don't know that I'd want to be showing up to hang out with Wendy either, in any way, shape, or form. But yeah,
so these grandkids are not seeing their grandparents.
There's a little visit. We'll talk about that here in a second. Okay. But they don't have the address. And gifts that we send must be mailed to her lawyer's office. We were uninvited to Benjamin's bar mitzvah following Charlie's arrest and never invited to Lincoln's. We grieve the years lost and the years ahead without independent and direct contact with them. Beyond her crimes, Donna scorned Danny, drove deliberate wedges between him and Wendy, and disparaged him to his own sons. All of which we saw evidence of.
Mm-hmm.
Her display of emotion before the court was not remorse for Danny's death, but sorrow for the consequences she now faces for causing it. We thank the court, prosecutors, jurors, and law enforcement for their steadfast commitment to bringing justice to Donna Adelson for her role in this terrible crime. That is the statement from the Markell family.
Yeah, good statement.
Very much, yeah. Outlining, I think, a lot of what we knew, but I guess it's still sad and shocking, the interactions of what's going on there with the kids and Wendy and the grandparents.
I don't know how those kids recover from this. I don't know how you know they need help. They need objective, healthy relationships in their lives. And I don't know how they get that with Wendy still being the mother taking care of them. And even if so, let's project it forward. If they charge her eventually and they all get locked up and put away in jail, still, how does that help the kids?
These kids are screwed in every which way.
Mm-hmm, I really hope not, but I don't know how you don't have that happen. it's one of those tragic cycles we see, and we're seeing it play out in front of us. So that's a tough one.
The best thing for those kids is if the uncle out in New York were to adopt them.
No, I was just thinking the same thing. You'd hate to place that burden on them. I love how we're managing people's families for them, you know?
Yes. But hey, you're all too close. Here's the 10,000-foot overview on what would be most healthy.
I would think whether it's him or someone like him that was close enough to understand the insanity of the family, yet has healthy relationships in their lives now, they self-escaped from it like he did, would be the best person to actually raise them. Because, so say the grandparents, were able to get them, still, that they were the villains in this whole story.
And so, would
there be love or would there be resentment? I mean, you don't even know how that would be taken and how they'd portray things. Yeah. But the brother, the older brother who self-saved himself earlier in life, that has that objective point of view that kind of saw both sides from that standpoint, someone like that or him would be in a very good position to bring clarity, to bring an understanding, to bring a mutual empathy, not empathy of like, compassion necessarily, but just an empathy of understanding everyone's point of view along this whole thing and helping them understand what healthy is and what healthy isn't. This is why I left, because of these unhealthy behaviors. And this is what, so I think someone objective in their lives, as well as that therapy they're going to need, would be an ideal person. But again, it's conjecture for what we place on someone else to do.
Yeah.
I'm curious, if Wendy were to be charged, where do those kids end up? Do they go with the grandparents, who obviously can't see them very often? It would be a very strange transition. What happens to these children?
Well, it's probably whatever Wendy has lined out in paperwork, in a legal statement. Basically, it would be like what I have if I were to die, where I have it lined out, where my daughter would go. In a case like this, here there is Dan's not around, so it would be her wishes that would be granted on this, unless they weren't lined out somewhere. So it would be, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, it'd be someone she trusts. That's what you're going to do with your kids ultimately. No matter how, at the end of the day, no matter how evil all these people are, they do care for the well-being of those kids, just in a very, very unhealthy way.
It's distorted.
Which kind of gets me to, so getting ready for today and doing our deep dive of trying to understand the craziness of the Adelsons, all these things in every case we cover, and especially this one, it really comes down to an overuse of what we're all trying to do as a species is control. Mm-hmm. And this came down to control. And so actually, it's a part of our evolutionary mechanism, actually. And our brains were, so this is what it is. So this is what drove these behaviors that we saw on full display in that echo chamber of it with all of them. That is, our brains are wired to solve problems through control. And because that control trait has been evolved for hundreds of thousands of years, because we, in order to survive at that primal level, we had to control fire, shelter, food sources for procreation. Because if we couldn't control those things and feed our children would starve. And so we've had this need to control our environment as a species for more than anything else on this planet. And so when it hits that excess, obviously here to the unhealthy level, then this craziness happens. And it was on full display. And when people threaten that control, that's what we saw in the courtroom. And part of that too was, as I was thinking about this, all these people that were, standing up for her. Well, when you have when the alpha is being placated, everything in the world is happy and fine. But when the alpha is being challenged, not so much. It was really, really interesting watching full display of massive control issues. And you saw the anger and rage and lack of self-regulation, because that comes into this bigger than hell. We said it on Monday too when we're watching this.
Yeah.
The emotional intelligence of these people, again, every single criminal case we cover, zero. These people are bottomed out on their ability to self-regulate and emotional intelligence. Yeah. There's zero with these people. And look how intelligent they are on an IQ score, potentially.
Bingo. But these are professionals. Yep. These are professionals in the world. They're masters of their craft. And yet look at them on a social, emotional level. They are so stunted. But yet you might say that they're quite advanced in that as well.
Yeah, and so their EQ, emotional intelligence, and ability to control was so, I mean, so you can see how cloistered their world was, because they thought that their behavior was completely acceptable and normal and was being validated by each other and that small cabal of friends they had that said, oh yes, they're completely wonderful people.
So yeah.
They're all nuts.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that a little bit, because that was such a bizarre moment in that trial with there was a guy that came up. He was like a former legislator, a former physician, a former Domino's pizza driver, a masseuse.
He's a doctor too. He's a PhD.
Yeah, he was he legitimately was a doctor. He went on he gave his credentials for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
About, and it's like no one cares. This is he came into that, it seemed, feeling that because of who he was or who he thinks he is, who he's built himself up to believe he is, that should somehow, his opinion should somehow override the jury, override the rule of law, override all of these convictions for this family, because you knew them 20 years ago and you haven't had much interaction since, by his own admission. But because she was a nice lady back then, I was blown away by that
he
one.
He said, look how smart I am. I'm smarter than everyone in this room. I know this person. I haven't seen her about 20 years, but I'm the smartest person in this room. And judge, this is why you're wrong. Listen to me. I mean, that's exactly what exactly what he said. And we're watching this and saying, you're a nutter too. So as soon as I saw him, I'm like, wow, this tribe of nutters they all flock together. And so anyone that touches, so here's a good rule of thumb for everyone that's watching and everyone in your life. If you see one crazy, and you see two crazies together, stay very clear of anyone touching them saying they're good people. No, they're not. You know, the nutters flock together like this, and then you get a bowl of nuts. And just don't eat the nuts. Just stay away.
What's interesting about that is so often you would think that their constant need for self-importance would be magnetically opposing of each other, because they need that individual spotlight.
Yeah.
But narcissists do seem to travel in packs.
And I also think they have their lanes. And so I think they validated each other in each other's lanes on this one. So you wouldn't battle dad on this, and you wouldn't battle mom on this. And so we know how not to get them upset. And you found out where their lanes are at, because, you know, Donna will pour on her fake, you know, exasperated face. Yeah. Isn't that just ugly? You know, I mean, that was so practiced. So she flipped that switch when she was in her lane of wanting to control.
Yeah.
And then she flipped it back off again. And she did it during the sentencing. It was so amazing to watch that face come out. And then you see her glance up, glance around. Anyone looking? Who's looking? Where are the cameras? Okay, I can turn it off now.
Yeah,
that's it. What a horrible fake face. That is a practice face, years and decades of rep saying, this is my face of control. I control my family. I control the people in my life, because no one wants to look at this face. I get people to do what I want them to do so they don't have to look at this face.
And she's been doing it probably since that face was like 8 years old.
She got, as soon as she had her first positive response to what she wanted people to do by making that face, because that's why babies, we cry.
Yeah.
Babies cry because they need something taken care of. And if they don't get it, they'll stop crying and move on to something else. But when a behavior is validated and rewarded, we keep doing that behavior. So her family of nutters. I keep nutters. Saying
that. It's nuts. Accurate though.
Of the mixed nuts, you know, variety.
Kept,
yeah.
Kept getting the mixed nut variety. you know, got reactions, you know, we're given reactions to that face. You know, it just became part of that family dynamic. And when we see the face, so they can even preempt it. They knew to switch their behavior up. If she even started that face, oh, we don't want mom to look like that. Yeah. Move.
And I'm sure there was, you know, little warning signs too, little canaries in the coal mine that Don is getting close to being like that. So we better all tread carefully to avoid that. And that's how they lived their lives.
And
different
totally,
lanes make sense.
And know? Totally shocked that no one else was buying it. That's why this is so fascinating to watch. And the guy, the first guy that came in to defend Donna, he was totally shocked that no one was buying his line of shit. You know, so that's why when you have a bunch of people that have this self-aggrandizement, thinking that people believe their line of garbage, they are completely blown away when no one does. And they get angrier because this line of garbage they're given is because this is how I've maintained control of my environment, because I'm smarter than everyone else. I have this sense of superiority over everyone else. And their minds are blown when it's not working, because it's always worked before. Why? They surround themselves with an echo chamber. This is how echo chambers work. This is how groupthink happens. This is what cults do.
Do you think the guy that gave that testimony for Donna had any clue the scope of how many people were going to be watching that? I mean, when we talk about narcissists, they're often very unaware of their surroundings because it's just in their bubble. And I'm wondering, you know, the fact that, you know, he hasn't been in contact with him for 20 some years, you know, or very minimal or didn't know him in
Christmas cards.
Yeah. I mean, it was that sort of a relationship, it sounds like. And if you're just, you know, kind of gently following the news and you're not into true crime, you may like, oh, shit, like, yeah, they're making the news. They're making the news down there. And if I don't know what this guy's connection to technology is in any way, shape or form, but if you're not well versed in any of it or really not at all, then you're not going to have a clue just how many people you're going to be going in front of and singing the praises of Donna Adelson to. I really wonder if he thought that this was just going to be like, well, it'll make the Tallahassee Democrat or something like that. And, maybe, you know, and that'll be it. I don't think he really realized that we'd be talking about this.
Right.
Maybe.
You know, and discussing what bizarre behavior it is to be standing up for Donna Adelson. I don't know.
So here's how human beings work. All human beings at all moments of the day, we always will act in our own best interest in terms of our safety, security, and prosperity from our own point of view. So especially when people are edging up higher on that narcissistic look at me level, like everyone in this cabal is. I mean, so let's just analyze it. Everyone in this family and everyone associated with this family think they're the most important people on earth. By his statement when he first started out, he was telling everyone how important he was on earth. And so not one person in this family or in this entire tribe was ever acting in terms of someone else's best interest, only their self. So my conjecture on this is that he knew exactly what he was doing, and he wasn't doing it for Donna. He was doing everything. I mean, think about it. He wasn't saying how awesome she was nearly as much as he is saying how awesome he was.
True.
He thought he was doing this in his own best interest to look at me, look at me, look at me, and he's going to get a lot of great press and prestige because, look, I gave such a thoughtful response, a thoughtful commentary, and yeah, she'll benefit maybe from it too, but look at me. And I'm going to show this judge up. I mean, otherwise, why would he have said it all that?
It's just, and but the
he thought it out. He thought it out. That's what he thought was a great idea.
He did, but without realizing, I think, who he was talking about. I mean, it's like if you knew nothing about Diddy or something, and you're like, you know about rappers,
right?
It's a rapper. It's a rapper that's got a bad rap, and I'm gonna stand up for it because I think more people should be, you know, without really digging into what you're standing up for because you want to hear your own voice. That's kind of what it felt like.
But I think it's 100% doing that because he even said, "I haven't known her for 20 years." All right, so let's think about this logically. Everyone,
which is a great way to intro yourself.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, why would you admit that to the
lead
court?
With
why
that.
Would you say that?
Because he thought this was serving himself more than it was serving her. Otherwise, why say it at all? And so he laid. So again, he could lay out his credentials. He laid out what he didn't know about her, And then kept rambling on and on and on and on, then challenging a judge, challenging jury, and saying, I can challenge this because I'm so smart, I'm so this. So he literally said everything he was saying in his own best interest, according to what he thought they were, clearly without any loving critic in his life saying, this might not be a great idea. But he, and even if they did, he's like dismissive of them. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I've been in, you know, so you can see that superiority in his life. And so he said, in his own words, I have no credibility because I haven't known her for 20 years to really defend any of her actions, but I can stand up here and challenge a judge because I'm smarter than the judge.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a 100% narcissist.
Yes.
Isn't it?
They all do. Yeah.
Really feels like that. I mean, we obviously can't diagnose or anything like that, but I mean, that was the demonstration of behavior was very, very much narcissistic behavior.
And he was rational. Now, granted, again, pure conjecture, who knows? Yeah. But you know, I'd imagine, you know, you rational in those moments, you rationalize your behavior that I'm doing it for a greater good. I'm doing it for my friend Donna.
Yeah.
But if when you sit back objectively, like the entire country is now that watch tuned into this, you're saying to yourself, no, you weren't. And so I'm hoping. So here's a true sign of someone on a good, healthy path that after all this commentary, people like us and others, lots of others are giving on this. Maybe he can look in the mirror and say, you know what? Huh. I have some work to do on myself, don't I? But unless he's doubling down and saying, you all are nutters. I'm right. And so it's really interesting that these points and these inflection points in someone's life and their life arc, what do they do in response to this? And here's what we saw. What did the Markells do? Clear, thoughtful response. Which then gives, again, they doubled down on who's credible in this entire thing and who's not. It reaffirmed, I think, to the jury and everyone that stood by the Markells, right choice, right decision. Yeah. Because what we saw in that, I mean, who knew you were going to see this in a sentencing? You know, you expect these things on days of final statements being made. And I mean, just but what we saw double down was how insane not just Donna was, but her husband. Her friends, we saw this display of crazy like we've never seen before. And then here come the Markells after we saw crazy reaffirming the entire world that no, we're good. They're not. And everyone, I mean, just stand by. I mean, if I was Wendy, her husband right now, I'd be like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I don't think good things are going to be
and
coming
the older
to
brother's
those who wait.
There saying, thank God, he might have been second guessing himself in parts of his life about removing himself from that family. He's probably saying to himself, oh my God, that was life's biggest bullet I just dodged. That was a shot coming out of a tank that I missed in my life.
The validation he must be feeling that the entire nation, the entire world has seen the crazy. And he probably is just sitting there going, I told you guys they were nuts.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I just did a piece on this, and it's going to air Monday, about why Donna resonates with people so much. Why are so many people passionate about this case? Why were so many people, you know, just so eager to literally watch like a 40-minute video of her in a van with little to no audio, shaking, you know, and just watching her micro expressions along the way? Because it's cathartic. There's a narcissist in a cage. And so many of us have had these people in our lives. And they just destroy the cage. They gnaw through the cage. Then they go to your house. And then they eat everything and destroy everything and rip apart your shit and destroy your emotions and your life. And then they just move on to the next thing. And you're like, can somebody catch this fucking thing before it destroys another life?
Because
and they're just out there.
We love saying to ourselves, as bad as my life is, it ain't that.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And honestly, and thankfully, in so many ways, you know, we don't end up with all of them in cages. I mean, because that means they're not necessarily going to the extreme lengths of murdering people like the Adelsons. But the damage that they do in far greater numbers to the living and to the emotional psyche and well-being of all of those in their wake that we become the sources of for their narcissistic fuel. It is strangely gratifying and pleasing to watch one in a cage in captivity that's trying to gnaw their way out, and they can't get out no matter what they say, no matter what they do. It's just kind of like, oh, what do you got next? Do another trick. Is that what you're doing there in the cage? Look at them. Look at them. Look at them think what they're thinking. They still think it.
Yeah, because I see Sharada's comment on the side too. And yeah, I think definitely part of this is also finally seeing, because we cover so many times when the criminal justice system is just abhorrent sometimes. Yeah. We're seeing it actually work, and we're seeing it work really well. We're seeing a great judge. We've seen so many poor judges, you know, over the last couple of years we've been doing these things. Here's a great judge really keeping people in their place, delivering great justice to people who clearly need it. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen crazy, unhealthy people get off on things or get reduced sentence? I mean, big reason why so many of these cases are in the public venue is because they're so abhorrent to watch. But this is one finally we got some great justice, great judge, great attorneys on the prosecution side.
And I think even greater, and again, what speaks to people on this is not even the criminal justice end of it, it's the social justice end of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because nobody stops these, because you can't stop them if they're not committing crimes.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's finally justice in a way that you can't criminally prosecute, but you're like, damn, this should be illegal what they just did to somebody, or what someone did to me, or someone did to you, or whatever it may be. And like I was saying, they just flutter on to the next thing, and you're just kind of left to pick up the pieces and go, okay, I'm going to hopefully be healthy and move forward. And they just go on and create more chaos for others. And if they come near your life again, oh, it's a windstorm. And without any sort of accountability, this was finally social accountability for that sort of behavior. And it spoke to a lot of people.
And that's I love these things so much too, you know, because I'm a glass half full. And so we can take a moment of severe pain and trauma and loss that a family suffered and make it a learning point for us all about who to avoid in our lives and what healthy looks like and what healthy doesn't look like. Because I'm sure there's so many people that can identify and know people, not maybe hopefully to the extremes of the Adelsons, but this is hopefully validation for those people. Uh-huh. Say, hey, you have permission to not allow these people in your life.
Right.
Because they will destroy it and think it's all very good. And they will manipulate the living hell out of you. They're going to make you feel guilty for it and all these things. But no, you stay away from these crazy people, because they're bringing you down their crazy road of nuts, and they're going to destroy you along the way.
And really, until you've lived it, you don't know it exists. You don't know the gravity to it. And that's why so many get sucked into it, because you just don't see it, or you haven't experienced it.
Levers of manipulation against you, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, I think the three of us here, excluding Robin, because Robin hasn't worked in the radio industry. Todd, I know we've all worked in the same place. I'm not going to say where, but we have all experienced this. So there is a little bit of, I guess, vengeance in our brain of, you know, we'd love to see a certain narcissist get into trouble. So
I don't even think, I mean, my world is not even thinking about that anymore.
I know you're not, but it's personal.
Yeah.
I did spend over 30 years with the government.
Yeah. Well, good point. Touche. Touche.
Oh, there's that.
There's
One of the biggest reasons I have the ability to see crazy is I've been around it my entire life.
Yeah. I think you dropped the Trump card on that one. Yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.